Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, we're joined here by, well, a guy that I know pretty well because he played for the Carolina Panthers, but former Carolina Panther running back and Oregon Duck and currently the Believe host of Scoing Long. Good evening, Jonathan Stewart. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Well, I got to admit, through being a Saints fan, you've broken my heart a lot of days. I'm just going to let you know. We talked to you before about this, but I still am not over it.
It's okay, man. It's in the past, though. You gotta lick your wounds and move on, baby. I hear you though. Being a fan now on the other side, there's definitely some games that I look at, you know, for my Panthers that, you know, that Falcons game, DJ Moore and the whole referee thing, his helmet, right, that strikes a chord still as a fan. So I understand.
I feel that, man. Well, I appreciate you joining us here on the Ruffino and Joe Show. Everybody do us a favor by hitting the like and subscribe button. Jonathan, a big change coming to the Oregon Ducks here, especially with Dan Lanning. And I want to spend a little time on Dan, but just off the top, what are your thoughts about Oregon moving over to the Big Ten?
I'm excited, man. Dillon Gabriel right now, you know, is obviously the favorite as far as quarterbacks in the nation. Let alone Big Ten, I think, you know, going into the Big Ten, University of Oregon has the upper hand. The quarterback play and the way that Oregon, you know, plays ball and Dan Lanning's, you know, aggressive nature when it comes to how he likes to call games, I feel like we're going to take off pretty well. Big Ten is obviously on a national presence. And it's a great opportunity for the University of Oregon to really showcase, you know, themselves as, you know, a powerhouse. It's kind of crazy to say that, you know, in the sense of, you know, the nation's collegiate atmosphere. And you think when you talk about powerhouses, you think about SEC schools and obviously the Big Ten. I mean, the Big Ten right now has made a huge leap in the department of, you know, powerhouses, adding, you know, the four Pac-12 schools into the mix. It's going to be very interesting as it all pans out. So I'm excited. I think it's a huge smart move by Dan to stay, because given the nature of what's to come, you know, the world's your oyster.
Going off of that very quickly, going over that really quickly, look, Dan Lanning was pursued this offseason, or I guess there's no really offseason anymore, but was pursued this offseason to go elsewhere. And then he writes on the whiteboard saying basically what Leonardo DiCaprio said in Wolf of Wall Street, I ain't leaving.
I ain't freaking leaving.
You know, Mike Evans posted that yesterday when he signed the deal with Tampa. Yeah. Your thoughts when he basically did that? I mean, because, Jonathan, I don't mean this in a wrong way, but Alabama is Alabama. And Dan Lanning staying there is a massive deal for the Ducks. What do you think about that?
I think what you're starting to see is the nature of head coaching positions is about to change. We're so used to this whole recruiting mechanism where it's like going in and obviously schmoozing, right? This is turning into a GM position, in my opinion. And what better leverage to have in that recruiting world now, more than exposure. And this was an opportunity to really double down on something that's already, you know, has a horizon, that I don't think is even like the ceiling is so high right now for the University of Oregon on a level of national attention, the school itself, the opportunities, that Nike presents, you know, for, you know, an 18-year-old and whatnot, the jerseys, the facilities and whatnot. So being able to go out and basically play on a national level and showcase why you should be coming to the University of Oregon is huge. So, I mean, I think what you see Alabama, like you saw Alabama and Ohio State coach, like they said, hey, look, I'm done here. Like they don't want to deal with this whole GM like switch, basically, in my opinion. That's a lot of work. Like, I don't need to, like, I'm like, and you look at Nick Saban, like, I'm Nick Saban. This is Alabama. Why do I need to work extra hard moving forward to make sure that I get the right players here?
You know, it's interesting.
Like, I've already built and established something. I don't need to establish anything else. And so I think that's kind of like the challenge going forward for these coaches is, are you willing to put on this new GM cap?
You know, it's interesting. Over 30 new positions have been brought into college football, most of them named general managers. We've had 30 of them in college football that have changed. Go ahead, Joe. What do you think?
I was just going to jump in here on, you know, you're talking about this general manager approach that he has. He has been one of the more active coaches in the transfer portal, extremely, extremely active. Do you think that this is sustainable? Do you think that eventually he needs to maybe focus? He's done a great job in high school recruiting, tremendous job. But do you think that the level of new faces that he brings in every single year is something that he can do every single season? Why do you think maybe it can work?
I think it is sustainable to a certain extent, especially if you know, have the right staff, right? If you are able to delegate the appropriate way, because it is a lot of man hours and it is a lot of traveling and relationship building, which is what he's really good at. And has proved to, you know, to establish, you know, himself as one of the top coaches in the nation. So there's a lot of variables that need to be added, I believe, to continue for it to be sustainable. But I also think it kind of alleviates the pressures of what he's going to have to accomplish going into the Big Ten. That's kind of the whole, like, national attention and all those types of things. Like, hey, doesn't have to work hard. He's going to have to work hard, obviously, but in a sense of selling why you need to come to the University of Oregon, it's a little bit different now, because now your competition level, the competition that you're facing week in and week out, gives guys an opportunity to be showcased differently. Whereas before, you're playing against, you know, certain teams that don't measure up, right? You know, you can make the case, you know, for, I don't know, like I look at guys like Rome Odunze.
Yeah.
Great player, but I think, you know, one of the things I have struggles with him for is what was he playing against? Who was he playing against to put up those numbers? You know, so like being able to establish yourself in a conference like the Big Ten and the level of play week in and week out, you're basically telling a player, hey, come to this school because we are the better school within the Big Ten now. You know what I'm saying? That's the approach. That's the mindset, you know, from a head coaching, you know, brain. And being in the Big Ten and being on a national level alleviates the pressures of what do I have to sell this cat to get him here? So I think it's a little easier from that vantage point.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. Bet online, where the game starts.
Jonathan, a lot of changes around college football are happening, and I think that you might have a little bit more insight into this because you played in the NFL for a long time and in college football. The new microphone in the helmets that is being passed in college football, obviously the NFL has been using it for a long time. Let me ask you a two-part question here. Number one, how smart is this for college football to enact this? The microphones and the helmet, obviously, with the Michigan stuff that happened. But secondly, you've been in an offense and have a quarterback where the coach can talk to him and being in a huddle and things like that. What side of the position, or like what position group or what side of the football do you think that that benefits more, and how big do you think this might be for college football?
I mean, that's kind of hard to say, right? I mean, it's there for a reason because it benefits both sides of the ball. You know, and I think, you know, we saw last year with Michigan and everything that went down there with the whole, you know, steal or the sign stealing and whatnot. But basically, it just eliminates for the offense their being exposed, right? In the sense of what they're dialing up in play calling. And but also being able to play faster. But it also puts a little bit more pressure on the quarterback to be able to, like, hear the play and then articulate it and pass it along to the rest of his teammates.
Right.
Because no longer, I mean, unless they're still doing signs and whatnot on this, you can still do both, right? Have signs on the field. So that way it's not all on the quarterback. But I mean, I think it's great because it just kind of speeds the game up and it gives more control to a quarterback that is capable of, you know, articulating and communicating to his team. And same on defense, right? Like, defensive coordinator, if he's in the box, like, able to see something last minute, like personnel change and stuff like that, like, that's huge for a defense. Like, hey, look, 49 just came in the game. Oh, shoot. Like, 49 just came in the game. I wasn't looking because I was on the ground and I was tired. I don't know, right? So, like, there's a lot of things that can really help both sides of the ball, because communication is key, especially on defense, being able to talk, being able to get guys aligned properly. And so you eliminate, the communication factor of how am I getting, you know, information from my coach to help my team and get guys in, you know, the right space. And I look at Luke Kuechly. Luke Kuechly did that so well for us. Just talking him and Thomas Davis. I mean, our defense was probably the most talkative defense I've ever been around, or I would say faced, because I faced them in practice, right? So they're always talking, everybody's talking to each other. So communication is huge on defense, knowing where guys are.
Last question I had, I believe you were technically in one of the NCAA or some of the NCAA college football games. And I don't know what your overall was off the top of my head, but if you had to pitch what your overall should have been, what do you think it would be? While you're at Oregon specifically, we're not, you know, no NFL here.
Man, I don't even know. Is that information on online?
I'm sure I could look it up somewhere, which might be interesting for me to find it later on to compare to what you think it might have been.
Yeah. You had a 98 broken tackle rate.
Oh, man. That was good.
Probably.
I would say like a 92.
Oh, solid.
That makes sense. Maybe go a little higher. I think it's
I'll say 92 from a standpoint of, like, you know, I was dealing with a lot of injuries throughout my whole entire career. Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say, you know, keep him at 92 because he might not be available, because that's the story of my career.
Let me ask you this question, and, you know, we're going to edit this anyway, but your thoughts on Chip Kelly leaving UCLA to go to Ohio State?
Yeah, man, I think it's, you know, one of those opportunities where, you know, this game, you know, and especially in the coaching world, it's all about who you know, and it's about opportunities to rise to the next occasion. I think it was great because it allowed Deshaun Foster to get an opportunity to be a head coach. And I think Chip Kelly obviously leaving probably knew that would be an opportunity for him. So I think, you know, it's, you know, for some people that might think, you know, oh, he left us or whatever, but maybe the culture needed the change, right? Maybe UCLA needed, you know, a new face for the, you know, the new recruits, the new the young kids that are on that squad in that locker room. And obviously it seemed like it was a good selection because I saw nothing but good things to be said from the players about Deshaun Foster when he got the job. And then obviously Chip Kelly, you know, we go back to this whole recruiting thing, right? Like it's easier to get guys to Ohio State, like Big Ten. So, and the trajectory where they are right now, and like where they're going to go, you know, they're obviously, you know, number one in the conference. And so you add him to the mix, you know, it just kind of gives that organization, that college, a new facelift as well. And so, I mean, you just got to, it's all about momentum. And I think he went towards, you know, what had the most momentum.
Last one for me here. Does Dante Moore deserve to be able to compete with Dillon Gabriel for this starting job?
I think every college kid has the opportunity, has the right to deserve, or everybody deserves the right to compete, right? And that's what you're going to do every year. You know, for my mindset was always, you know, nothing's given. Everything's going to be earned. So I'm pretty sure, like, as far as, you know, does people deserve the right to compete? Everybody deserves the right to compete, but there's only going to be one deserving of the actual spot. So right. Always love a good competition because it just brings out the best out of all the players. And so, you know, I believe Dillon Gabriel wins this competition? Absolutely. Right. But, you know, I think, you know, his mindset should be it's a competition as well, because he should be always learning and growing. And that's kind of one of the things that I liked about Bo Nix is, you know, his love for the game.
Right.
You saw it through and through. Like, his love to compete and to get better, that's what's going to make him a pretty good quarterback at the next level, are those intangibles. And you know, I think one of the things that will solidify him, you know, within 2 years to be a quarterback or a starting quarterback in this league is his understanding of who he is.
Right.
Play within yourself. Don't do anything that's not you. Just, you know, trust it. And there's several quarterbacks in the league that have made, you know, a huge impact by playing that way.
Jonathan Stewart, former Panther, former Oregon Duck, and Scoing Long podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, brother.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.